The Paducah Symphony Orchestra's artistic director and conductor is Raffaele Ponti. Maestro Ponti and the orchestra are enjoying successes with each other. Several standing ovations during their recent season opening concert evidence that capacity audiences are delighted to hear them perform together. Kate Lochte has more.
Maestro, we are featuring the program of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra's September 8th program later this morning at 11, when we preempt our regular encore presentation of A Prairie Home Companion. I'd appreciate your preparing us for this listening experience to the orchestra's opening night, Rhapsody in Blue.
The opening night of our season was spectacular, Kate. The crowd filled to capacity. I have never experienced this before. We opened the concert with the Capriccio Italiano Tchaikovsky. It's an amazing work. Today, we tweet, we Facebook, we communicate so quickly. I know what everybody had for breakfast in the concert hall. But in those days, an artist or a composer had to document it with their tools. Tchaikovsky had to come back after his trip to Italy and somehow describe and document through music his experience, not just what he saw or what he did or what he ate, but the feeling, the emotion, the character of what happened. And in this music, you'll actually hear music of the streets, music of the people, some military bands, some real essence of the culture and of the rhythm of the people, the rhythm of the language. It's absolutely a beautiful piece of music. We played this, and by the last note, the audience was up on their feet for a standing ovation. I've never seen that before.
It's interesting that the music of the streets that Tchaikovsky captured is said to have inspired George Gershwin as well, the music of the train.
Absolutely right. That's why this was like a perfect fit. So Jeffrey Beagle comes out on the stage to play George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Probably one of the most recorded pieces of all time. Everybody knows it. It has such a commercial value to it. But Jeffrey's been working at this piece for so many years. He says to me, listen, I've just discovered that there are 50 measures of music that have been taken out of this piece that George Gershwin wrote. And I found this work, and I want to do the original version. Can you imagine taking a piece of a painting and deciding after all these years that the Mona Lisa should be blonde and we're going to change her dress and we're going to fix this and make it more snappy, more contemporary so people can really appreciate this? Well, publishers and editors, when they heard the work, decided that it was too long. People won't take it. It's too long because in all these piano cadenzas and all these little segues that make this piece so fluid, they chopped all these solo parts out and just abruptly put the orchestra back into place. And we've just come to learn it this way. Now, with these 50 measures back in place, which we did on Saturday night, it just makes it so much more fluid, understandable, and the key structures just flow nicely back and forth. It's so beautiful that I can't even listen to the other version anymore. This was really an amazing piece of music, because now the orchestra is sitting there. They know this piece with their eyes closed, but now they're hearing something different for the first time, an old work in a new way. It was extraordinary.
I understand Mr. Beagle could neither speak nor hear until surgery fixed problems for him at age three.
Exactly right. He had a rough beginning. His parents never thought he'd ever be able to play the piano. And I have to tell you, I've done this work with many, many pianists. He plays this Cuban rhythm stuff that Gershwin was influenced and put in this piece. I have never heard a technically proficient performance like this. The swing and the groove he achieves is extraordinary.
And Mr. Gershwin wrote this piece on a very quick turnaround basis, I understand.
He really did. I think the process and the idea of him wanting to write this piece, he had thought about this for a long time, but the actual pen to paper was a quick turnaround. And he also probably had, because of the jazz idiom, the Cuban feel to it, all these different things in his mind from travel, from hearing things, from having one foot in Tin Pan Alley and the other at Carnegie Hall, he knew exactly what he wanted to hear. And he knew also pianistically, the solo aspect of it, what he wanted to show off from his technique. So when he went to put it down on paper, It was just a matter of realizing it.
Now, tell me about the closer and composer Giuseppe Martucci.
You know, this is a very funny thing to me. There's so much beautiful music out there. We just don't simply have enough time to perform it all. Giuseppe Martucci was a great pianist, obviously composer, and conductor, very successful, coming out of Naples, Italy. Now, when we think of music coming from Italy, we think of opera and maybe the Baroque period, you know, Vivaldi, Pella, all these great early music, Monteverdi, all these beautiful things. But we don't think of symphonic music coming from Italy. This is one of the greats. He wrote two symphonies and a couple of piano concertos that are exquisite. For some reason, they're played in Italy and in Europe, but don't make it to the United States. And I can't figure out why. Riccardo Muti is doing a little bit now with Chicago, and they championed his works in Italy, being from Naples himself. But it's funny being able to like have a premiere of music written 100 years ago that is so beautiful. And the influences are Brahms and Schubert. And I even hear Bruckner in his writing. This was what he loved, what he listened to. And you'll hear all these colors, the form of Brahms, the singability in the second movement of a Schubert song, and the layering and almost fugue writing of Bruckner. It's absolutely beautiful music, and it brings an element of something I haven't heard before, but I'm going to love this to our audience. This orchestra is on fire. The Paducah Symphony is on fire. Our community couldn't be more loving. I mean, I can't wait to get to the next concert.
Well, tell us about the next concert. It's October 13th, and it's Young and Mighty.
Young and Mighty. This features our two concerto competition winners, which we hold at Murray State University every year. I was privileged to be on the panel this year for the first time. I was blown away by the level of the performances. These high school kids amaze me with such great repertoire. The violinist who won is playing the first movement of the Korngold Concerto, and we have a pianist, a young boy who's going to do the Liszt Hungarian Fantasy. I mean, these both are challenging, very, very difficult works, not only to play technically because of the notes and the structure of the thing, but they're complex. And what is impressing me the most about this is the level of maturity at such a young age. How do you understand this at such a young age? I'm sure as these artists grow and they develop their careers, which is the whole point of encouraging these type of competitions and giving them this experience to play with a professional orchestra while still in high school, they're going to grow into it and they're going to feel differently about it in a couple of years or 10 years or 30 years from now. They're going to say, I'm really growing into this more and I feel better about this or I feel a different way about something. But the level of maturity right now is just extraordinary. I get to open up with a Beethoven overture, the big war horse on this one. It's a Dvorak symphony. Now, we all know number 9 from the New World. Number 8 is very popular. I'm doing number 7. He pulls his folk tunes right from his homeland, lays them in, and then develops them beautifully. It's arguably the finest symphony he's ever written.
Fabulous. Maestro, thank you.
Hey, thank you, and I hope to see all your listeners at the Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall is, of course, the Carson Center in Paducah, but as previously mentioned, you can also hear the Paducah Symphony Orchestra exclusively on the radio with us. We are broadcasting September 8th season opening concert today from 11 to 3 here on 91.3 WKMS and WKMS HD2. Now bear with me because it gets a little bit confusing now. You can hear 91.3 HD2 over the air and online at WKMS.org. You can also hear WKMS HD2 in Paducah at 92.5 and in Madisonville at 105.1. We feature two more broadcasts of this concert on WKMS HD2 tomorrow morning at 9 and Wednesday at noon. See all the dates of our broadcast for the entire season in our fall listening guide. You can request a guide at msu.wkms@murraystate.edu if you don't already receive one as a contributing member. There are also a host of free concerts this week at Murray State, including a program for four strings, music from Mozart, Beethoven, and Dvorak. That's in the Performing Arts Hall on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. There's a mallet music concert on the 20th in the Performing Arts Hall at 7:30, and the Festival of Champions High School Marching Band in competition is at Murray State's Stewart Stadium all day on Saturday. And then this afternoon, though, you can hear tenor Randall Black and soprano Sonia Baker give a faculty recital at 3:30 in the Performing Arts Hall. When we come back on Front Page Sunday, learn about a Japanese fall festival coming to Murray and the history behind Fulton's Banana Festival.